Glad you're with us this morning. Take your bulletins out. I want to take advantage of the coolness of this day. And I've been to a few days in the summer where we've had revival meetings where we've gone longer than the heat has, but we're not going to try that today. And all God's people said. That's all good. That's all good. Hope you got your notes. We're wrapping up our series today on No Ordinary Day with God. Reaching the end of a job interview, the human resources person asked the young accountant who was fresh out of school, "What starting salary were you thinking about?" And the new accountant said, "Well, in the neighborhood of $100,000 a year, depending on the benefits package." Well, the interviewer went on to say, "Well, what would you say to a package of 5 weeks vacation, full medical and dental, company retirement fund up to 50% of your salary, executive share option scheme, profit-related pay, and a company car leased every 2 years, say a 5 Series BMW? Well, the young accountant said, "Wow, are you kidding?" And the interviewer said, "Yeah, but you started it." Now that we've been giving our day and our morning to God and seeking to do his will throughout the day, and we're seeking to do God's work or will at work in so many ways and conversations and appointments that we've been talking about, because now we've been looking for them. So part of the thing we talked about too was just setting our minds to be involved in and going into to work and in the everyday life with a little bit of worship. And we've been listening to worship. I trust that you've been doing that. And I'm sure people are looking funny at you because now they're seeing a whole new attitude of thankfulness that they may have never seen before. And people are seeing a new attitude, which is great. By the way, there are two, but we'll just let that go and we'll just keep on going. What did you do this past week that decided that you would get the day off right with God to give you that attitude of gratitude, to have the right perspective so that people could see a difference in you? I think when we set that up, when we understand that that's how we need to come with an attitude of gratitude, then we're actually thankful. Remember we talked about being thankful, driving to work, that we had a job, sitting in on our office chair, bringing glory to God. So how do we do that? How do we incorporate your spiritual growth at work without affecting your productivity? Because by the way, you still have to get your job done. Yes? Do you have a strategy for being salt and light at work? What do I mean by that? Well, listen to the words of Jesus that are in your notes from Matthew chapter 5. "You are the salt of the earth, but what good is salt if it's lost its flavor? Can you make it useful again? No, it'll be thrown out and trampled under his foot as worthless. You are the light of the world, like a city on a hill, glowing in night for all to see. Don't hide your light under a basket. Instead, put it on a stand and let it shine for all. And in the same way, let your good deeds shine out for all to see, so that everyone will praise your heavenly Father." Great words. Let me ask you a question this morning. What does salt do? Well, it enhances taste, right? How many of you like salt on your food? How many like extra salt on your food? Somebody told me the other day that Jack Welch wouldn't hire somebody if he took him out for dinner, and that's usually what they would do, go out for soup. And if the person put salt in without tasting it, he wouldn't hire them. Interesting. I mean, how do you know if it's salty if you don't taste it? Just a thought that I was having. So what does light do? Well, light enhances your vision. So God has called each of us to live a life that so reflects Jesus that people would have a positive taste of what it means to be a Christian at work or at school. He's called you and I to live a life that so reflects Jesus that they get a clear vision of what it means to be a follower of Jesus in your neighborhood, or with the girls that you meet, or with the guys that you meet. Have you ever wondered how to be a witness at work without carrying a huge Bible? Maybe you've never thought that. What would you say if I would give you a tool that would help you be a significant witness for Jesus at work? Would you be interested in that? No, I'll just close the service right now. We'll be done in just a few minutes. How do you keep from being isolated from people at work? Do you have a problem with only thinking about what you have to do at work? Or is your job so stressful that you can't even insert Jesus into your work routine? Today, I want to suggest another simple strategy for growing in your faith. I want you to realize that lunchtime can be a crunch time. What do I mean by that? Regardless of whether you get 5 hours, whether you get an hour for lunch, or whether you get five half hours of dedicated time, where you can actually choose to grow in your faith. Have you ever sat down and said, what can I do with this time? How often do you get into the lunchroom, and because you don't have a plan when you get there, you do nothing, and then you waste the opportunity? Whether you've got a bag lunch or you have an option of eating out, you can do this. You can make a difference in your workplace. Be intentional about what you do at work to help you grow spiritually. I know people say to me all the time, well, you know, I don't have time to have a quiet time in the morning. I get that. I worked in the real world for 3.5 years. I had to be up at 7 or be at the office at 7 for my job when I was VP of HR. And never more did I understand the pressure of what it was like to be to work and still have a quiet time. I was so grateful for that insight because it made me understand that there has to be other times where you can actually take advantage of just time that you have alone by yourself. Here's what I want you to remember. Every noon hour has the potential to be an hour of power. Every noon hour. See, this is the one thing I want you to know. I want you to see that God has given you an open door each day to grow spiritually. If you're a teenager here this morning, you can take time at lunch to see what God is doing in your life. If you're a single adult that works alone, you can take lunchtime to seriously see God develop a deep relationship with you. And if you're a stay-at-home mom, you can take lunchtime to help other moms handle the stress of life. And if you're an adult here this morning that works in an office, you can make your lunch hour an hour to cultivate relationships with others. If you have a top-level executive position, you can take several days each week to influence your key employees for the kingdom. See, one of the things that I realized being a pastor for so many years is that I was always around Christians. Now, that has some good side and that has some bad side. But the problem is that what it did was I potentially got isolated from the people that I was trying to reach. You have non-Christian friends. The longer you work in ministry, the more you're working with Christians, the less you have in terms of an opportunity to share your faith. So I deliberately decided that I would become a Rotarian. You see, you have a distinct advantage that as a staff we don't have. You have a natural group of unchurched people who are open to having a relationship with you. But the minute I tell people, you don't think about this, because I think you love me, but you don't think about this, that when I go and I share with people, or even when I go golfing with people and they ask me what I do, I almost lie to them. You know why I lie to them? Because I don't want them to hate me. Because the minute I tell them I'm a pastor, oh, I have to tell you this story. Years ago in Mississauga on Monday, it was my ritual to get up and go golfing with whoever was on the tee, and I would just join a group. And I joined this group of a father and two sons, and they were Italian. And so they just said, hey, come on in. And but the way they talked to each other, I have never heard a father talked to his sons the way this father did, and I never heard a son or sons talk to their father or to each other the way these people did. I mean, it was so bad. I felt dirty while I was walking down the fairway. And then, of course, on the 18th tee, Dad asked me what I did. That was the day I was ready to tell him. I said, well, I'm a pastor. And Dad was up and he hooked his ball way over in the woods. And the boys looked at each other and went, I could just see what's going on in their mind. They replayed every word that they had done for the last 17 holes. I ruined their day. That's the only time where I do it on purpose. But the minute that I tell people that don't know me that I'm a pastor, the walls go up. And they already have preconceived ideas and judgments about who I am. And that is a huge disadvantage when I'm trying to be Jesus to people. And so it took me years to cross these kinds of barriers. And so I joined the Rotary Club over 20 years ago for two reasons. One, it was a way to get to know and serve the community that I was living in. And secondly, it provided me an opportunity to be salt and light to unchurched people. And I mean, I did this faithfully, and I would. And back in when I was in Windsor, pastors prayed for the meal. That was the designated job. And so literally, I would just get up and talk to Jesus like I talked to Jesus, and people would look at me. They wouldn't even bow their heads. They would just look at me because I just talked normal. And I really didn't think I had much of an impact there. When I got called to come to Alberta, I resigned. I was supposed to be the president, and I had to go to the board and ask them to relieve me of my commitment because I needed to go. And several years after I was in Alberta, I got a phone call from the leader of the 301 class, which is the class that helps people understand their shape for ministry in Windsor. And she said to me, she said, "I got to tell you about a man who came into my class today." And I said, "Okay." And she said, this guy came in and said, there was a young man by the name of Bob Claxton who came to our Rotary Club. And now I finally know that what he was standing for was right. I didn't even know who he was. And he didn't even know who I was, but he heard me pray. He heard me live in front of them. And the reputation that I had. And because he was following Jesus, he said, "I saw the light." And what's interesting is he saw the light through me. And I didn't even know it. And I don't say this to impress you. It humbled me. You've always heard me say that people are reading the Bible every day, and it's you. Whether it's you or me that someone sees and responds to Jesus, that's what really matters. I don't take any glory in that. In fact, I'm humbled that God would use me. It's people like him and people at your office and in your school and in your neighborhood and in your home where their eternities are at stake if you don't make your lunchtime an hour of power. See, what's at stake here is a family could choose not to stay together. What's at stake at school is a teen who could be kept from drugs or even taking his or her own life. What's at stake is for that man in the office next to you to see whether or not he's going to sacrifice his marriage for work. What's at stake is you bringing glory to God at your work. What's at stake is being able to stand before God and tell him that you did what you did with the hours that he gave you at the office. What's at stake is if you don't take advantage of this, you miss out on a natural time to partner with God. Listen to the words of Paul in Philippians chapter 2. This is where I want to park for a little bit. Is there any encouragement from belonging to Christ? Any comfort from his love? Any fellowship together in the Spirit? Are your hearts tender and sympathetic? Then make me truly happy by agreeing wholeheartedly with each other, loving one another, and working together with one heart and purpose. Don't be selfish. Don't live to make a good impression on others. Be humble, thinking of others as better than yourself. Do not think only about your own affairs, but be interested in others too, and what they are doing. Review with me this morning in your mind. What did you do over the lunch hours of this past week? For those of you that were at work, what did you do? Take a moment and do a little inventory. What did you do? And what opportunities did you miss? The passage we just read gives us several insights on how to utilize our lunch time. And I want to pick up two from verse 4. Look at what it says. First of all, I want you to consider how you can make use of your lunch time to grow personally. Verse 4 says, don't think only about your own affairs. Listen to it again. Don't think only about your own affairs. Circle the word "only" in your notes. It doesn't say that you're not supposed to think about yourself. It says don't think only of yourself. So you're at your computer and you logged in that morning. Remember, you said, "God, I'm grateful for the job that I have," and you get going. And if you don't have an opportunity, or if you are a little intimidated about bringing your Bible to work, then you can go online and get the YouVersion version app of the Bible for your phone. And if you don't have a devotional, I've talked to you about this before, get the Jesus Calling app and go through that. You'll find reading programs and pre-selected reading programs for you. Cheryl and I love the Jesus Calling app. But pick out one verse and think about what it means to you. Get a journal. I actually pulled some of these out because we have a box of them. In the foyer underneath the windows from the office, I've probably got a dozen and a half of these. If you don't have a journal, I want you to grab one. This is not intimidating. It won't give away that you're a believer. Okay? You can go in as a secret servant. But take a few pages. And in here, it tells you how to use it, how to learn it, but write out a prayer. And you know, you can pray with your eyes open, especially if you're driving. But take a verse from the reading of the day, one that just kind of jumps out to you, and just say, Lord, what is it that you're saying to me about this verse? Start it. And if you're a student, you can do the same. You might need to find a funkier journal than this one. But find a place at home with your friends where you can do this. And just talk to God. Mom, you're at home. The kids are down for a nap. Take some time for yourself and snuggle up with God for a few minutes. And just take time to grow spiritually. The second thing is consider how you can make use of your lunchtime to help others. See, it's not just about you, as he says. Let me tell you this story about this lady by the name of Joyce. When Joyce arrives at the gate, the guards wave her through. After all, she's been spending her lunch hour at the St. Louis County Correctional Institution just about every weekday since 1979. Leaving her office alone while the other secretaries bustle off in clusters of the cafeteria, each day Joyce meets with a different group, from the men in the maximum security to a small group of women prisoners. She said, sometimes we have a worship service or a time of testimony and singing or Bible study and discussion. It depends on their needs. And when she slips back at her desk at 1 o'clock, one of her coworkers is usually bemoaning her lunchtime excesses, promising to take the diet plate tomorrow. Joyce laughs to herself because she knows exactly what she'll be having for lunch tomorrow. Another peanut butter sandwich at the wheel of her car as she drives to the institution. For many, meeting with the inmates each day in the middle of a hectic work schedule would be unthinkable. But Joyce sees this differently. For me, it's a real answer to prayer, she says. You see, I don't have time to do this after work. She said, I've got 6 kids that I'm raising by myself. Well, maybe you can't go to a prison, but you can invest in the life of a friend at work or a colleague. Ask God to lead you to one who needs encouragement. Remember, look at verse 4. It says, don't think only about your affairs, but be interested in others too and what they're doing. If you and I are going to make our lunch hours an hour of power, then we need to do this. And I have it in your notes. Strategically seize lunchtime to make a difference. This week, take your eyes off yourself. Take your eyes off your phone. Take a look around and see who you can be salt and light to. Listen to the words of Paul in Ephesians chapter 5. So watch your step, use your head, make the most of every chance you get. These are desperate times. Oh man, aren't they true for today too? Don't live carelessly, unthinkingly. Make sure that you understand what the Master wants. God has given you and me the same amount of time in each day. We get to choose how we use it. Look at what Albert Schweitzer said. Life becomes harder for each of us when we live for others, but it also becomes richer and happier. So what's a plan? What's a plan that you can use? Whether you have 5 hours or whether you have 2.5 hours. Here's a plan that's really simple. Let me encourage you to try it, or at least try something that would fit into your situation. There's 3 things. On Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. Write this down. Monday, Wednesday, and Friday. On Monday, take your journal and journal about what God's teaching you, and then pray for your colleagues at your office. You can journal it. You can write your prayers out. Just pray for each one of them. Go around. And just become aware of who they are. If you don't know them, then that's the first thing that you need to do is get to know their name. Then on Wednesday, invest in a single relationship to just be Jesus to them. And I would suggest you find the person that doesn't have anybody else that they connect with. And don't go with an agenda other than just simply get to know them and to be light. Just encourage them. This is your new day. To speak life into them and just encourage them about what they're doing at the office, or find out about their family, find out what's going on at home. And then fifthly, on Friday, intentionally go out for lunch with the gang. Whenever I know what it's like as Christians, they all go out and we stay in. Why don't you just blow their mind and say, where are you doing lunch this week? I want to join you. And don't go and be judgmental. Don't go and come and have an attitude and do all of that. Just go and be with them. Be light. Be salt. Be with the gang. I want to give you a simple plan that they can see. That's going to make a difference. Now think with me for a moment. Just imagine with me for a moment. If every week you saw people interested in your Jesus because of you being present at work. Imagine this week you could build a relationship that would change the destiny of that person. Imagine what would happen in your office workplace if every believer sees the opportunity to be Jesus with skin on, to be salt and light, to simply dribble their faith and not dump it on their heads, so that people would be open to Jesus invading their life. Imagine what it would be like to have what would happen in our city if we would utilize the time God gives us to be a catalyst to change lives. Before I give you this practical tool, read with me the words of King David in Psalm 90. Look at what it says. And may the Lord our God show us his approval and make our efforts successful. Yes, make our efforts successful. How many of you want your efforts, especially at work, to be successful? Sometimes Mondays are difficult for us. And may I suggest that we change our Monday mindset from begrudgingly heading into work to get the job done, just like every other ordinary day, to choose a new start where we have what I would call a Monday mindset. And may I suggest that you take these next few points and copy them on a 4x4 card and put it over your sun visor, and before you leave your car, just read this outline. Do it every day so that you make it a conscious part of your awareness as you go into work every day. Here's what I mean by a Monday mindset. There's a couple of things here I want you to do. Make the decision, first of all, that I will be salt to make things better. How are we going to do that? Two ways. One, I will add value to people. Look throughout the day for opportunities to assist and support people around you without being asked. Get up and ask your leader if there's anything that you can do for them. And after they fall over, ask them again. If you want to make a difference at the office, Jack Welch says, if you want to make a difference, you got to remove yourself from the pile. If you want to remove yourself from the pile of average, then I would suggest that you intentionally do something like this. That's a support and encouragement to somebody else without them even asking you to do it. Make it a habit of intentionally doing this once a day. The second thing is, I will do my work with excellence. You've heard me say this before, but I believe it bears repeating. As a follower of Jesus, you should be the best you can be in your role or your position at work. Hands down, if you want to add value and excel at work, you will be salt. You will be making things better. But then I want you to be light, and that means that you will make things brighter. How do you do that? Let me give you two practical ways to do that. First of all, I will lift people up by my attitude. Now, for some of you, that may mean that you need to change your attitude before you get to work. Can I say that with my tongue in my cheek? Have you ever been around a person who's had a bad attitude? Look at me, don't look at the person next to you. Attitudes are contagious, especially bad ones. But you can make your home or your office better brighter by choosing to have a great attitude. I love this statement by Herm Albright. A positive attitude may not solve all your problems, but it will annoy enough people to make it worth your effort. And the second thing here is, I will be ready to share my hope. For me, this is the source of why you can be positive in a negative world. It's because you have hope in the light of the world. Amen? Most negative people will only find problems. People of hope will find a solution and a resolution. Be that kind of person. Be that kind of person that's positive and ready to shine and ready to share whenever you're called upon. Be salty. And I know this isn't very good English, but be lighty too. I didn't say flaky, I said lighty, all right? So here's my challenge for you today, and then we'll wrap this up. Choose to invest your time, not waste your time. Choose to invest your time, not waste your time. Your lunchtime can be your crunch time for the kingdom. Will you choose to partner with God this week and make your lunchtime crunch time for the kingdom? Will you do that? Will you be intentional about what you do during lunchtime so that you can add value? I had a lunch meeting this week by Zoom. All the transitional pastors, actually we had one from Atlanta that was on the call. We had ones from Ontario all the way to BC. What was interesting were three of the people that I knew or that were on the call. There was 20 of us. Three of them I already knew because of my life, my work experience and my time with the Alliance. And one of them, actually his name was Tom Allen. He was an evangelist with the U.S. Alliance who spoke at a family camp when I was a youth pastor back in Belleville, only he didn't look the way he did today, and he didn't need that app on your phone either. But I was eating lunch, adding value and getting value added to me as we were part of a call. What are you doing at lunchtime? That's going to make a difference. In your notes, here's your prayer. Father, help me to seize each lunch hour for personal growth, or to help others see Jesus in me. Grant me the ability to choose to make lunchtime crunch time in my spiritual growth. That's my challenge for you this week. I trust that will be your prayer. Next week, we're going to start my final series, What Does Love Require of Me? And if you want to get a heads up on it, read 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And let me encourage you, if you've read it a million times, read it in a different translation. Just get a different perspective on it. Because we're going to talk about what love requires of us so that we can make a difference and be light and salt. Amen? Will you stand with me? Let's pray, and then the worship team will come. Father God, thank you for this warm day. There's not a complaining bone in my body for this warmth. I remember what February was like. And it's coming. Lord, every one of us has a place where we can make a difference.